Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
I guess, appeal to the younger demo. Obviously, younger people are going to watch this and watch more traditional golf. Like, the median age is going to go down for this versus what a regular golf broadcast would do, because I'm sure the older audience is going to be turned off by a lot of this. And, like, is it just like, this is content you, I'm watching, and I watched all I got to see, I watched some highlights of Tiger playing, but it's like, it does seem like something that could be on Twitch if Twitch had some high-budget production.
It definitely has the esports feel. There's right. No question. Like, the lighting, everything, like, it has very much has an esports feel. I would be curious to know if 12-year-olds are into this. Because I do think you're right. It's golf. Golf definitely has the Cialis rental car, like, that target demo down lockstep. Like, they've
right,
got
yeah. I hope those ads don't get banned.
Correct.
Yeah.
But never super popular with the kids, with the exception of one, like, absolute supernova. That is Tiger Woods.
Right. Right. Oh, for sure. Yeah. And he's involved with this one. And it looks a little bit more, you know, there's a screen there. So kids love the screens. But I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. I don't feel like there's that many kids that are actually going to be watching necessarily this version of it. But could they spin it off? Could they do other things with it? I don't know. It seems pretty simple to do that if you wanted to, because it's practically a TV show is what you're watching.
You are
more than a sport.
You're watching a TV show.
I mean, it's a giant screen. They could take that anywhere they wanted to.
The problem, though, is I just always think as we come up with more and more, like, niche sports adjacent products.
That's exactly what it seems like. This is something that should be been streamed on Netflix over the past few years. And not actually be
like when we would watch like Nadal Federer in Vegas for $2 million,
right? And the hot dog contest and all that. Like, this just seems like, oh, well, we don't have real sports, so we're gonna just make up this new
thing.
Well,
it's like they're also like they're trying to now remember Jupiter Golf Links, which, by the way, we have like each team's named after a place, but they all are just playing in Palm Beach. I mean, they're trying to do the F1 model where someone owns the team, you have revenue sharing, but it's just like, I don't know, man. It's like, I don't know how this thing has staying power.
I mean, well, a lot of it. I mean, they've got a lot of investors in it. A lot of big names are involved. So are we going to get more? Like, could it be, would you watch it if it was, because I know Shaq's an investor, right? So, like, if it was Shaq versus, ESPN's got a new deal with TNT. Would you watch Shaq versus Chuck versus
playing golf?
Yeah, just the inside the NBA crew doing this.
Well, see, like, that's the idea. They want it to be the PGA. Because I think the other idea is it's the tour trying to come up with another way to make revenue. Like, this is one of the ideas that was the aftermath of LIV, the LIV split. Like, okay, we got to find a new way to create revenue, give opportunities so players can have an ownership stake in these teams. And, like, it's another way to try to give them money, another opportunity where they're going to be on TV so they can wear their sponsors and get more money. That, like, it does seem to be, it's another way to get players money in players' pockets.
All right.
But man, I just don't know if I'm going to be locked into like who's going to make the playoffs. And they were really.
But will you watch the playoffs though? Will you watch?
Like last night, why do I tune in? Tigers on. So like maybe in the end it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Tigers on. Like there's that.
So we're gonna see like when LeBron retires, is he gonna be doing his own little? We're gonna see all these big stars just try to do their own
3-on-3
half virtual versions of their sports. I mean, it's possible.
I don't think LeBron's the right person because I get the sense when it's over for LeBron, he's going to try to get known a team. And I think that's going to be his path. Like, it seems to me like, and that's going to be the question that Tom Brady's going to face. Like, well, A, like, I don't know if the league might quietly say, like, either you own the Raiders or you are the Fox broadcaster. Like, that's, like, I get it that it all came together to where they couldn't really do something this year about it, but it seems likely to me that they're going to do something about it in the offseason.
All right. Yeah, that's fair.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the list. CJ Hurt also coming up during hour number two. Stick around. You're listening to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM. Zen Sports just picked another grand prize winner, this time for the December Big Game Sweepstakes. And now they're rolling out the VIP Players Club Sweepstakes for January. And the prizes are raised to a whole new level. This month, one grand prize winner will win a $10,000 bonus bet on the NFL Big Game in February and $10,000 cash. Or you can take the alternative prize of $15,000 cash. You have the ability to earn entries on every bet you place in January and every dollar you wager. Plus, you can earn 10 times the entries on all parlay bets. It doesn't get much better than this. And if you don't win the grand prize, don't worry. You'll still also have a shot to win one of five smaller prizes, which grant you either a $1,000 bonus bet on the NFL Big Game or $250 cash. Also, for all new customers who sign up with my promo code, JeffTN, JeffTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you will receive 500 entries in addition to the entries earned from the value of your qualifying bet. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to zensports.com/sweepstakes for a full list of rules, and you can also earn a $100 no-danger first wager on your first bet. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. No-danger first wager, limited to plus 500 odds to qualify. Terms and conditions do apply. A qualifying wager for a wager entry must have a minimum odds of any leg in the entry of at least minus 250 or worse American odds. For clarity's sake, a wager at minus 251 does not qualify. A qualifying wager for a wager entry must be made for a minimum of $5. Head to zensports.com/sweepstakes for contest terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Let's get into the list. Yeah, this from Clicked. Suddenly, the signature pizza has a whole new meaning. Fans of football, pizza, ranch dressing, and collectibles will have a chance to win a Hidden Valley Ranch signature pizza autographed by Eli Manning in dressing and, quote, delivered by Pizza Hut, Hidden Valley announced on Wednesday. As a promotion for its new bottle design, which will provide Manning with precision and control while signing the pizza, the brand will give one winner the one-of-one autographed pizza encased in resin and authenticated by PSA, along with a year's supply of ranch and Pizza Hut pizza. Ten runners-up will receive a year's supply of pizza and ranch. Entry to the contest requires fan to use one of three images of the pizza and post to Instagram prior to February the 9th. I can safely say, listen, the Mannings are always open for business. I think if we turn on the TV, we know that that's true. I didn't see my guy using ranch dressing to sign a pizza.
Yeah, they've got something here. I don't know. Of course, it's one. He's going to do one of them. I'm guessing he's going to practice some. But it shows apparently how easy it is to squeeze this bottle of ranch. Do you have trouble squeezing ranch and you need an easy squeeze bottle, Jeffrey?
So God's watching. I don't really like ranch.
You don't like ranch?
Now, my wife will drink it. My wife...
You don't like it with anything?
I do not. I think what it comes down to is I hate mayo, and usually...
You hate mayo?
Yes. Like, I am the guy that I... It's tough in the South because when I go to get wings, even when I order blue cheese, they always just assume everybody wants ranch, and so I'm stuck with ranch.
Right. But, I mean, you're a Giants guy. You're Eli guy. I mean, you're tied into Ole Miss. Like he's the football player, right? You have an Eli autograph.
I do not. My dad has a Archie Peyton Eli like three jerseys signed by each of them.
Oh, cool.
No, I'm sorry. He just has Archie and Eli. My buddy's dad has the three, but he has Archie and Eli. I do not own any. John Martin was shocked by this. I'm not a big memorabilia guy.
Yeah.
I don't dislike it. I just don't collect it.
I don't. I don't really collect either. Thing that always puzzles me, because we're sports guys, we're also Disney guys,
yes,
right? And like, you go to Disney World, Disneyland, and the people who are getting the autograph from the characters. I'm like, that's just like what?
The autograph book's always legit.
I
had one.
You had one?
Yeah.
You got the autographs from the characters?
Oh, yeah.
So what do you do? These are like this, but that's
no,
like
and then, well, no, the worst is you wait in line to get that.
I mean, the picture. I can see you wanting to get a picture, but so we got the easy squeeze bottle. So the point is, it's just a publicity stunt, obviously, to show that, you know, this bottle is so easy to squeeze, you could write your name on it with it. Not
it
that you need to.
I guess
you're designing something with
it
your ranch.
It looks like Eli looks very legible, but it looks like Eli Murray to me. Or Eli Murray to me.
Yeah, we'll have to get you'd have to get a better picture of that.
Yeah.
But you get a year's supply of ranch, so you don't need any ranch. There's a year's supply as an empty bottle if you won this contest.
And I don't know how you feel of the convenient pizza options, Pizza Hut's my least favorite.
Pizza Hut's number one for me. We can go to war on this. Pizza Hut's the best.
So
make sure you order it pan.
I pay the extra dollar for the pan. No, that's not a problem. I just, something about the crust.
I'm saying that's where you get a pan. It's better.
I know. Like, I've tried it all. If I'm doing pan, I'd rather do Papa John's.
Oh, the pizza, Papa John's is at my bottom of
so
the
I
list.
Go Domino's, Papa John's, Pizza no. Hut.
So, okay, boy, your other chain missing there is what? You have Little Caesars, and now Marco's is the up, you know, the,
yeah.
the new
Little
player
Caesars
in the
is,
game.
Little Caesars is like the convenience element. Like, if you just want to go pop in and get the hot and ready. Mm. But if I'm, typically if we're ordering, like, quote-unquote trash pizza, we're ordering Domino's.
I would not even use the word trash when we talk about it. We're a Pizza Hut household. I think you could have some great Pizza Hut, especially, you know, if you're ever out there on the road, Jeffrey's swinging one of those dine-in Pizza Huts, you see, you know, and eat that lunch buffet. Those still exist. Those are things that you feel like do not exist anymore.
Does the AR
they're out there?
Does the
I think there's one at Olive Branch.
Does the accelerated reader program still exist?
I don't know if they're giving
you free
I don't know if you're getting
free personal pan pizza.
They need to bring it back if they don't have it, but I'm definitely a pizza guy, so I would be excited. I don't know whose autograph I want in a pizza or how you would store it. Again, it's obviously a publicity stunt, or if any food makes any sense for any type of autograph. I can't think about it, but I mean, we're in this.
I mean, Dave Portnoy's the first guy that comes to mind, right?
Yeah.
One bite, everybody knows the rules.
Yeah. I feel like
who else is synonymous with pizza? Like, that's the other problem. I don't associate Eli with pizza.
You don't associate him with pizza whatsoever. I mean, New York is associated with pizza, and he's associated with New York. So,
and
I do associate him
with Super Bowls and winning them and making me
and
happy.
And you do eat pizza at the Super Bowl parties, but that's six, seven degrees of Kevin Bacon stuff going on there to try to connect. You don't associate him with pizza, at least not yet, but maybe you will. Maybe he wants you to associate him with pizza or ranch dressing even. Like, dude, so you hate ranch. Like, some people will dip certain pizzas. They'll put ranch on the pizza.
Well, my wife.
She does?
Oh, yeah. My wife, there's very little that my wife can't pair with ranch.
Sometimes I want ranch. If I'm having a salad, sometimes you want ranch, sometimes you want Italian, sometimes you want the house dressing. You know, it depends on maybe the salad or the mood. But I can get behind ranch. It's not my preferred dipping sauce for stuff. I mean, some people will dip anything in it, but
like, what do you,
I'm more
when you
of a,
order wings, I'm, what are you getting?
I think I probably would have ranch with it, but I would take blue cheese and not care.
I prefer
blue cheese.
I have to have blue cheese dressing in my refrigerator, not for salads, for in case I have wings and inevitably they give me ranch when I ordered blue cheese.
Well, what are your other options with, I mean, you have blue cheese or ranch, right?
I mean, some people, I mean, those are, I mean, some people like, do nothing. Some people just say the sauce.
I often, you know, sometimes if it's a great wing, right, you don't need it. What is this? Some like green goddess sauce is what they call it at Laughlin Yard. Like it's, I don't know what it is. It's possibly
it's a flavor. I don't, Aaliyah was watching something the other day that, and they were doing a green goddess.
Probably has ranch in it or something. But.
Is it dill maybe? But I mean, dill's in ranch. I don't know.
But I'm usually, I mean, I like chicken fingers. If I'm dipping something in it, I like Chick-fil-A style house sauce from those type of, that's my preferred sauce over ketchup or ranch or anything like that.
The power rankings, Polynesian.
I like regular Chick-fil-A sauce. Like the chicken.
It's mayo-based.
You're just so, against mayo.
I cannot, it's not even like a, there are some people out there that are anti-mayo people from like a persona or a personality thing. I can't, like, I am the guy that if it's drizzled on my sandwich, I just can't, like, I can't even rake it off. Like, it's just done. It's over.
This is going to be an issue, Jeffrey. If we ever, if we ever have this big dinner party or something, we're gonna have some issues. Cause I mean, we're over here putting cornbread and putting mayo in the middle of the cornbread. I mean, the mayo's all over the place.
We have butter right there.
We got Pizza Hut. I agree. The making mayo sandwiches the stuff. I'm totally fine.
Far superior.
But you
sandwich,
never ever use mayo
ever. Now, I become a hypocrite.
Yeah.
I do enjoy chicken salad.
Okay.
I can't explain it.
No, I mean, but there's more to it, right?
Yeah, but it's still mayo-based.
So you never put a mayo on a hamburger?
No.
When you
never
grill at home?
No, in fact, like if the fast food place screws up and has mayo on it, it's done. Like, if you'll go to Burger King, you get the Whopper. No, I'm just
you
not
just don't like the taste.
At all.
All right. Well, so anyway, Eli's signing a pizza. It doesn't seem like it was tied into a promotion. We're getting close. You know, we're very close to the big game coming
mm-hmm.
up. So there's going to be all types of these publicity stunts out here. But the easy squeeze bottle is. I don't see how. I'm interested to see how it's going to be easier to squeeze than the other bottles. Like, don't you just need to turn it upside down and it's fine? It's going to.
How many times is he going to practice this?
What? How many pizzas will go to waste? Hopefully, they got somebody there to eat them, and then they donate them. Because he's going to have to. What is he going to sign it in front of him? Like how?
I don't know.
I don't know the lifespan of.
It's going to be authenticated, so he's signing in front of somebody.
And then they're going to take it and deliver it, and it's somehow going to make it there and not be messed up. Like,
because they set, what is it, encased in resin? There's some chemical. Yes.
Okay. Because it feels like you're going to get your, when you get anything delivered, it's going to be shifting around a little bit. And hopefully, they get one of those, miniature little, table things they put in the box so it doesn't press down on the box. And put
that plastic thing that we have no idea what it's actually called.
The pizza table.
It looks like a bar stool.
Bar stool.
Yeah. All right. The King, Mike Floria. All right. Kevin, the King doesn't miss anything. This is the latest post over at Pro Football Talk.
All right.
On several occasions during the 2024 regular season, on-field officials missed blatant face mask fouls. For record, Floria is a big-time Vikings fan. One of the big missed face masks this year was Sam Darnold in the end zone. It resulted in a safety. Last month, NFL rules analyst Walt Anderson explained that the referee and umpire often miss such infractions because they're positioned behind the play. Anderson also said that replay assists will likely expand in 2025 to include such obvious fouls. This is where the King starts cooking. On Monday night, it looked like the league office might have gotten a head start. In the fourth quarter of the Vikings-Rams game, Rams running back Kyren Williams had his mask grabbed by Minnesota linebacker Blake Cashman. No flag was thrown. Then, referee John Hussey conferred with umpire Terry Killens Jr. After the meeting, Hussey announced the penalty. On the broadcast, Joe Buck said, "We never saw a flag." No, and I don't know where that came from, ESPN rules analyst Russell Yerk said. They definitely talked about it afterwards, and I don't know where it came from. Asked Buck, and am I wrong in saying they cannot throw a flag in essence from New York? Quote from Yerk, yeah, I don't think it came from New York, not answering the question directly. I did see a flag come in late, and so I think they talked about it on the field. I don't think they would have just thrown this from New York. This is where King really starts kicking. Yerk could have stated things more strongly. Perhaps, but for his concern that the rule against replay review for face mask fouls might have been ignored. The procedure is clear. Neither the replay assist nor the league office may chime in with an instruction to drop a flag for a missed face mask, but the rules can go out the window in a situation like this where getting it right the wrong way trumps getting it wrong the right way. I will say I have definitely noticed in the playoffs there are replay assists that are not allowed. I would also say this. Good. My whole deal is I want to make replay just a part of the game as a strategy session.
Right.
You get three challenges. You can challenge anything. You want to challenge pass interference. You want to challenge holding. You want to challenge face mask. Whatever. You get three challenges. It's coaches get to then use it. But I also think we've got this over-dependence on replay. Make it a part of the game.
I would be cool with that.
Because it never made sense to me why face masks. Because the explanation is judgment calls are not susceptible to replay. Everything's a judgment call. Whether or not you think somebody's offsides, whether or not you think somebody triggered someone to jump or to false start, like it's all judgment. Whether or not you think he stepped out of bounds.
That's why there's a rules analyst.
Correct. Then,
and there's the every time there's a replay, you're like, well, this looks like this.
And I don't know, Jim. It looks like a face mask.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It is interesting how, and I don't know if it's because of politics behind the scenes or with these teams or with the players or just because this is how it's been done, but it feels like the replay has not evolved the way it should have at this point. Like, it should be. The technology is there. This all should be easier than it is, and a lot of it looks very archaic when you watch it on television, and like you're saying, restricting it to certain rules, like the quality of the replay. Like, HD has come along since the instant replay, right? Like
4K.
Right, 4K. We can see all of this so much better from the comfort of our own home than when they first started doing replay, but it doesn't seem like they've evolved the idea of it too much, and I know they've made some tweaks. But to your point, like, why can't you just open it up to if they want to throw the flag on, if it's a challenge from a team on this particular thing, why can't they challenge that? If you can tell on the replay that it was not called or wrong, then you should be able to challenge it. Anything that is, you can watch the replay and say, okay, that is a violation of the rules. We need to reverse that. Anything should be up for grabs that if you can see it on the video. And so if they throw it, I think it would. I don't know. I think it'd be more fair. It would make more sense. I still also feel like it should be in the game a little bit more. But it just.
Well, I mean, they wouldn't go along with. I thought the XFL was onto something.
Right.
They had the eye in the sky, and you would hear the replay official communicating, "Hey, missed call. Here it is," and like he explained it, and so it actually took out, like, because some of the worry is, all right, if you move it to the command center, everyone's going to think there's a scheme.
Yep.
Well, Fox just showed you the whole, like, the mechanics of it, how it worked every single time, and you're like, okay, cool, moving on, and it took out the whole conspiracy element.
No, I forgot about that XFL way that they were doing that. So,
but the owners wouldn't go along with it.
Right.
Made no sense to me. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, CJ Hurt joins the program. Grizz and Spurs tonight. Let's talk about it with CJ next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. CJ Hurt is a grind.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you
you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
City media personality. You can see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Follow him on Twitter on X at ConRadicalness. CJ, did you catch wind of the online debate about whether or not it's appropriate to send Gigi Jackson to the Hustle to ramp up for rehab?
When I feel like that just popped off, and I just got off air. Wednesdays are my busy days.
Yeah.
Jessica's show, and then HBCU Huddle, and then Grisby. But they were talking about that right before Grisby got started today. And so I missed it. I can't wait to hop into it, because I bet it's full of a bunch of reasonable Grizzlies fans with a bunch of real reasonable Grizzlies takes. Nobody there is being absurd at all. I can't wait. When Grizzlies fans get like this, boy, you can just inject it straight into my veins. I love it.
So along the same lines, Kevin and I were discussing this to start the show. Does it also seem to you that Grizzlies fans have intensified in the last couple of games? Like it feels to me like every game feels, I don't know if it's more intense, more urgent or whatnot, but there seems to be a ramping up of something that I can't quite put my finger on.
Grizzlies fans are on the cusp of exploding. And I love it. Once upon a time, I was a kid, and I was at my aunt's house. She stayed in Virginia, and I was bouncing a ball on the deck, and bees came up. And I stopped bouncing the ball, and the bees went away. And then I bounced the ball, the bees come up. I stopped bouncing and they go away. I thought it was the coolest parlor trick until the third time I did it, one of the bees came up and stung me.
Yeah.
That was the first time I got stung. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you can work bees into a frenzy. They're crazy. And I feel like the same thing can be said about Grizz fans right now, right? Like, they are being agitated right now. They're being agitated because of the team's failure to close out games. They're being agitated because of the team's inability to not turn the ball over. They're agitated about lineups, especially in the fourth quarter. They're agitated because of the injuries and the things that they look forward to. One of the things that they have told themselves throughout the course of the season is, oh, it'll be better. It'll be different once we get whomever's out, right? Once we get Vince Williams Jr., it'll be better. Once we get John Morant was out, once we get Ja back, and the main one is once we get GG back, things will be so much better. Now GG looks like he's coming back, and he is coming back, but they don't want him to come back down in the hustle. They want him to come back on the big team, which I understand being excited about what the young man is capable of, especially with the way that he finished last season. But hey, people. He hadn't played a game yet. He is not in game shape. He might be in basketball shape, but he is not in NBA game shape. So I understand sending him to the G League, letting him work himself into game shape, and then bringing him up. But, oh, boy, Grizzlies fans are they're a special bunch. I love them all dearly.
And I guess that's kind of the question that I have. What do you think it's rooted in? Is it? Because, like, I agree with all of kind of your how it displays itself, but, like, what I'm more curious in, is it rooted in they're worried about this team isn't really a contender? Is it last year sucked, so this year, like we're going to ramp up? Like, we're basically using, like, 2 years' worth of energy on this?
Oh, it's way, way deeper than that. It is the plight of a sports fan in Memphis, Tennessee, right? And it's the plight of Memphians, not just sports fans, but just Memphians in general, where Memphians feel like they're always waiting on the other shoe to drop. They're always waiting on the bad thing to happen. You can take it back. It's MLK's birthday today. We'll celebrate his life and legacy on Monday for MLK Day, but you can take it back all the way back to that moment where, okay, it's great, MLK is here. Oh, no, we'll forever be known as the place where he died.
Sure.
And then you take it to less serious things, right? You take it to the sports side of it. Memphis Tigers, great. They got to a Final Four. Oh, no, that banner's coming down. Great, they got to another one. Oh, no, that banner's coming down. You know, great, we've got this really fun, exciting Grizzlies team last year. Oh, no, here come the injuries. You know, it's with Memphis, with the University of Memphis. It's, hey, we've got one of the best non-power programs athletically, not just in football and basketball, but you throw men's and women's soccer in there as well and throwing a couple other sports, right? We've got one of the best non-power conference athletic departments in the nation. When are we going to get into a major conference? What's going on here, right? Like, it's always something happening from a Memphis standpoint to keep Memphis back and keep Memphis down. And so I feel like Grizzlies fans are falling subject and prey to that sort of mentality where it is, oh, no, it's good right now. We're third in the West right now. But listen, we can't beat good teams. We're 12-12 in the West. We're struggling right now, even though the Grizzlies currently sit third in the Western Conference. And if the Grizzlies go 500 the rest of the way, the Grizzlies get 20 wins, 21 wins. That'll put them at like 45-37. And listen, I think that's a damn fine record, but I'm not sure if that record is good enough to get you into the top six of the West. You know, like, I'm not sure if that record is good enough to get you into a play-in situation. And I think that's the fear right now that Grizzlies fans have because they've seen a lot of – they've had their heart broken. Oh, we're up. We're going to win a national championship. Oh, no. Why is Mario Chalmers pulling up for three? Why does he make that, right? Like,
why didn't they foul? Yeah.
Why didn't they foul? They've got all those moments. I forget, like, pick one of the free throw situations, right?
I think it was one for five down the stretch, I think.
Right. You've got all of those types of things that are ingrained into the very fabric of being a sports fan in Memphis, and it feels like they're just waiting on the bad thing to happen to the Grizzlies, right? Like they're trying to be the first one to predict the bad thing so that they can guard their hearts and protect their hearts from anything bad happening, or if the bad thing happens.
Does Ja look right to you right now?
Right now, no, but he looks right enough to play.
Yeah, like, I want to be like very clear. It's like, the games are way better when he's on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But something does feel like, it's kind of like with Dez like a couple of months ago. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of looks a little off, but at the same time, I'm with you. I'd rather just see him out there than not.
Hey, check this out. When playoffs are April, May, ain't nobody going to look right. Everybody's going to be battered, beaten, and worn out. You may as well learn how to play through it now. I don't want you learning in May in the first round. Like, learn how to play through some of these aches, bruises, and nicks and pains now so that you know come that time what it is with your body and how you need to be taking care of yourself on off days and what you are and are not capable of in games. He's not injured. He is absolutely hurt, though. He's probably in some pain. Play through it. Like, it's that time. We're at the half. Today will be, this game against the Spurs will be the halfway point of the season. Hey, now let's go. Everybody's got to play through everything now.
How would you assess the play of Zach Edey?
I am pleasantly surprised by what he has been at this level. This is somebody who didn't think he should have been drafted, didn't think he was certainly a first-round draft pick, let alone a lottery draft pick. But Zach is a big physical player, and I didn't think that would play in the NBA the same way that it played in college, because the NBA is full of big and physical players. Zach Edey is somebody who not only likes to hit, likes to be physical, which is easy. When you're the one doing the hitting, like, it's easy to like to do that. But he also likes to have people hit him, right? Like, he also likes when bigger players come in and bang with him. There's no back down there. And I've enjoyed seeing that. I thought his rebounding has been really, really good, especially on the offensive end. I'm thinking about that Timberwolves game specifically here recently, where he was a legitimate problem for them on the offensive glass. Now, he's a rookie. There are things he needs to do better. He does need to be more consistent. But I have been pleased by how Zach Edey has played and shown himself so far.
Yeah, I honestly think the thing that's been the most surprising to me is I thought he would be a little better on offense, but I think he's holding his own on defense better than I expected. I think that's kind of where I net out.
Yeah, like, and he's a rookie.
Yeah,
right.
Like, of the year,
and he's battled through injuries during the season.
Yep. Yep, of the year. I don't know. Jalen Wells is also around, so he might be the rookie.
He is a rookie of the year. We'll see. I think he's still definitely a contender for it.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll be first team all rookie, and if he won rookie of the year, it wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't be the first Grizzly to do so. Switch gears for a second here. We were talking earlier, Eli Manning is giving away a signed pizza. He's signing a pizza with ranch, and he's giving it, and he's going to give it away as part of a Hidden Valley promotional stunt. If you had an autographed pizza, a ranch autographed pizza by Eli Manning sitting next to you at 6 p.m. tonight, would you eat that pizza or look into selling that pizza?
It is a one of one.
It's a one of one. Would you eat it?
No.
Pizza Hut pizza?
I don't like ranch.
Oh, so you don't like ranch either?
You're a hero. Welcome to the team.
And I don't particularly care for Eli Manning either. So, like, I wouldn't do anything with that pizza.
You're trying to sell it. Somebody wants it. I mean, we're in the Ole Miss market here.
In this region, I'm sure I could find some Ole Miss fan to come to and grab that pizza, and I probably wouldn't even sell it. I'd want to make that person's day, because while I don't like ranch, I understand that people love ranch, and ranch is on the pizza.
Well, what do you pair with your wings?
I don't like Eli Manning. I think a lot of people love them some Eli Manning. They love the Manning family, so I would want to make somebody's day by giving that to them.
Oh, you would just give it away.
I would just give it away.
That's what Hidden Valley Ranch and Pizza Hut are doing. They're just giving it away.
Just give it away.
So you hate ranch. What do you have a ranch substitute? Like if you're in wings, do you have something? Was it blue cheese? What are you doing?
Nah, just give me the wing. Give me the spicy wing, man.
The spicy wings and a glass of water.
Hot wing. Check this out. I don't want to give no free plugs away, but Sheen's got that blue drink. Give me the spicy
that's a good
wing.
That's
blue
a good drink,
man. Give it to me, man. That's some good stuff right there. Crumpy's got good hot wings. Like I need them spicy. My issue with some of these people's hot wings around here is to cut the spice. Some people put a little bit of sugar in there. It's like, no, I don't want it sweet, man. I just give me the heat raw. Just raw heat. Hit it to me. Give me that raw heat in my mouth, man. I love it.
When you said Ching's and blue drink, I was also thinking that sweet tea there is so sweet. I saw this the other day. I was at Super Low, like I ran in to get something for my wife. They now have extra sweet Milo's sweet tea. I've never had Milo's sweet tea and thought, you know what? Not sweet enough.
Right. Yeah.
I have.
Really?
Yeah. People, I come around like we like Milo. This tea is fine. It could be sweeter.
It could be sweeter.
What about Chick-fil-A sweet tea? Like, because I have the same reaction.
Chick-fil-A sweet tea is good. Chick-fil-A lemonade is good.
Chick-fil-A. I agree. I think the lemonade is probably better than sweet tea.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A lemonade is the best lemonade, hands down. Yeah. There's no question about it. But that's interesting. Do we get a trend going of people? Would you like sweet, non-sweet, or extra sweet?
Yeah, X sweet, XS.
I want to take a sip of that tea and go, because the tea is that sweet, right? Like that's what I want. I want to after sipping the tea, I want to have to run my tongue across the roof of my mouth because the tea is that sweet. That's how you know.
You want diabetes?
Yeah, I want to feel. Feel my left foot about to come off. That's what I want.
All right, buddy. We appreciate it, man.
All right, y'all.
That is CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, Kevin, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got a Corey Graves who was bumped from the main broadcast down to the NXT broadcast. Imagine chasing your dream, then being told, not deciding, that you're no longer physically able to pursue your dream. Then you dedicate your life to something, quote, dream adjacent, and being pretty effing awesome at it. And then when it's time to enjoy the fruits of your labor, being told you're not famous enough for your own job, just in case you're wondering where I've been. So he was bumped to NXT, which, by the way, only network television program for WWE.
It is, yeah. But, yeah, he was bumped down for Pat McAfee, who is more famous and honestly, you know, more exciting in that role. So,
I mean, I do agree Graves is really good. I also think, like, hey, man, when Lee Fitting came in, you got a new lead executive on the television side. Like, you got no shakeups are coming.
I mean, look, yeah, I mean, Tom Brady comes in, right? Boom.
Yep. Greg Olsen was.
Olsen's awesome. Yes.
Now he might be back in that chair next year. My thanks to CJ Hurt for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show coming up next.